6UTC, and we can start our call. Can I ask you to do the roll call, please?
Thank you, Shirinesh. We'll start the recordings and start Chami's interpretation now. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to today's APRI monthly meeting on Thursday the 23rd of July at 0600 UTC. On today's call we have Shirinesh Vardhanyan, Ali Al-Mishal, Ji Yun Choi, Yasuichi Kitamura, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Amir Kwayum, Fouad Bajwa, Chaitanya Ramachandran, Toshio Tachibana, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Winthrop Yu, and Suhaidi Hassan. Maureen Hilliard will be joining us in a few minutes. Apologies today noted from Holly Raich, Satish Babu, Farzaneh Badi, and Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco and myself, Gisela Gruber. And our Chinese interpreter today is Jesse Doherty. If I could please also remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow our Chinese interpreter to identify you on the other channel and to speak at a reasonable speed to allow for accurate interpretation. And to let you know that Maureen Hilliard has joined the Adobe Connect room. Thank you, and over to you, Shirinesh.
Thank you, Gisela, and good morning from my side of the world to everyone who made this call. I'm happy to see Maureen Lessis joining today. Welcome all, and we have a couple of stuff on our table to discuss today. But let's first start with the ALAC public consultation overview, and I'm happy to see Olivier was able to join us and give the floor to Olivier to provide the overview of what is on the table today.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Serena. Olivier Capanablon speaking, and can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Fantastic. Well, thanks. It's a great thing to be back on the AP Rallo call this month. And as you know, there's been a lot going on in the ALAC as well, especially as far as statements are concerned. We've had four statements approved recently. The first one is on the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN accountability. In fact, they had their first comment period that took place on a first set of proposals and thoughts just to try and direct them which direction to go. As you know, the CCWG accountability, the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability, is one which needs to do some serious work to be able to link up with the work of the Cross-Community Working Group on INS Stewardship Transition. In fact, there is a very strong link between the two, because the work on the stewardship transition cannot complete until part of the work of the Accountability Working Group is complete and the results of it feed in into it. So we had a statement on the they were not even initial proposals, they were just a first draft of a few thoughts and a few directions that the working group needed, and that was adopted with 15 votes in favor. I invite you, of course, to read this from the agenda page. There's a link directly to it. Next one is the ALAC motion to adopt the final transition proposal of the Cross-Community Working Group on INS Stewardship Transition. That part has actually just finished because, of course, that working group started before the Accountability Working Group. And so the ALAC had to ratify as one of the supporting, of the chartering organizations. I will get it right. As one of the chartering organizations, the ALAC has had to ratify the final report of this, the actual proposal itself. And VIALAC did, along with all of the other chartering organizations of that cross-community working group. So now this process has been passed on over to the INI coordination group. That's the group that will put together a sort of coordinated response that includes not only the response from the naming proposal, and the naming proposal is the one that the ICANN community has put together, but also the one from the protocols proposal, which was put together by the Internet Engineering Task Force, and also from the IP, the Internet Protocol addresses, the IP addresses that was put together by a coordinated regional Internet registry group. And that process is going on as we speak at the moment, and we're likely to see some, we're very soon likely to see some requests for feedback for that overall coordinated proposal. So watch out for that, and it's going to happen at the lovely time of August, and there'll be again, just like the other requests for public consultation, there'll be a pretty short consultation, so we'll have to be on the watch out for that. We've just finished the consultation, as I said earlier, on the accountability thread. There will be another consultation on this in the future. And a lot of work has happened since as well. So if you are interested in the whole discussion on accountability, then please ask staff to join the INA Issues Working Group calls. We have our own working group that coordinates the work between the people that are on the a cross-community working group on a stewardship transition on one side and the cross-community working group on accountability on the other. And we really are always looking for more input and for help for the people that are doing a stellar job at the moment are defending the end-user interests in these working groups. Now, the next one that's been passed was the proposed schedule and process improvements for the affirmation of commitments and organizational reviews. There was a slight change of schedule that was proposed, and the AIRAC has approved this and actually somehow welcomed the schedule so that we know when we are going to start, and the AIRAC when we are going to start our review. In fact, the review is started already. or at least the planning for the review has started already, and you'll see the proposals on that page. I'm not going to go through the whole set of proposals, but it's interesting to see then when we will be starting actually the self-assessment and then looking at competitive bidding to try and find a contractor to then conduct the review. And then move forward with the implementation. And now it is our second at-large review, and the first one was quite a lengthy process that was led with expert hands by Cheryl Langdonor, who I believe is in the call, so she might wish to also add a few more words on this. I did forget to say that, yes, AP Rallo has also a representative on the cross-community working group on ICANN accountability and INA stewardship transition. That's Cheryl as well. So if you do have questions in your region, then she's your point of contact for that. Now, the next adopted statement was on the GNSOs, the Generic Name Supporting Organization Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues or Working Group. That's a GNSO working group in which we have, we as in the AIRAC, have some members working in that working group. And there are many issues with anything related to who is, which is the sort of service that provides you with the details of the owner of a domain name or the registrant of a domain name. Originally, Whois was all put together for technical reasons, so if you had a technical problem, you could just email someone or get in touch with someone and tell them that their domain name wasn't working or something was not working in their computer systems. since that time, many people use Whois to try and find out who actually is running a domain, especially when you deal with e-commerce, for example. But that also introduces problems as far as privacy issues are concerned. Let's say you have someone who is an individual that registers a domain name. They might have an issue with releasing their full address details because they might end up being stalked by some crazy people or something. And so they might wish to use a privacy or what's called a privacy or a proxy service, a company, an organization that will register the domain on their behalf and provide a different email and contact addresses in the Whois the data, and will forward that over to the registrant on their behalf. So far, there has not actually been any kind of exact science as to how this was to be done, which has resulted in some privacy and proxy services that were actually pointing to nothing and that had no record of the actual registrant. And in the recent, or maybe not so recent, developments in the world, there has been a lot of push for registrants to actually be both contactable but also identifiable by law enforcement agencies, for example. And so ICANN is engaged into putting some kind of accreditation system for privacy and proxy services organizations. That's the long story about it. The ALAC adopted the statement on this with 13 in favor. Very interesting. Lots of issues with regards to privacy. And it's always a trade-off between security and privacy in some way. But sometimes it isn't, as we will see a little bit later. So currently we do have one statement that is in process, and that's a review of the generic name supporting organizations. As I mentioned to you a couple of minutes ago, the ALAC was about to engage in its own review. The GNSO, that usually is the first one of the ICANN supporting organization and advisory committees, that is the one that goes through a review process. So they've already reached the stage of the contractor actually having performed an initial review and done all of the work of asking dozens and dozens of people about their point of view on how the GNSO should improve its processes or its working groups or the way that it works, or even maybe its own structure. What are the weaknesses? What things need to be done to make the GNSO a better part of ICANN? And the initial or the sort of report of that contractor has been released. I think the comment period is actually closing, was it yesterday? Yeah, sorry. it was a few hours ago. But we are going to have a vote coming up in a moment, in the next 48 hours. I think there will be a vote starting, and as the pen holder, I'm currently still putting together the final touches to this statement, which looks at each one of the recommendations that are made by the contractor and provides the ALAC support or non-support for the proposal that are there. An interesting number of questions. The main concern so far, it seems, is the most of the review is concentrated on GNSO working groups and a few procedures on how the GNSO carries its work. It doesn't appear to have actually looked at the overall GNSO structure of having a bicameral house, which effectively means one side, one part. 50% of the GNSO council is made up of contracted parties. 50% of the GNSO council is made up of non-contracted parties, with the difference that the contracted parties are the people, the organizations that are involved in the domain name industry and that effectively make money out of this. The non-contracted parties are those that might make money out of domain names, but they definitely do not have a contract with ICANN. And they include in their commercial and non-commercial interests. So that's one of the issues perhaps that the ALAC might flag out, because there have been some concerns about this, of the non-contracted house being a lot more fragmented than the contracted party house. There's a few other points, and we'll have the report, or rather the response out in 48 hours, I think about 48 hours, or 24 hours, let's say, very soon. So I'll invite you to have a look at it once it's finalized. At the moment, the ELAC has decided not to submit a statement on one public consultation. That's one about specific top-level domains, new generic top-level domains that asked for the ability to use country and territory names at the second level. So let's say if we look in there on the list, we've got .global, .BNP Paribas, .Bridgestone, and .Firestone. Let's say we have .global. So if you had company XYZ, for example, should be XYZ dot Australia dot global, let's say, to take the Antipodes, or XYZ dot Jordan dot global, to take the other end of the AP Rama region. But you would basically require at the moment a green light to be able to do that, because the Government Advisory Committee has objected to this in the past, and in the applicant guide, because it doesn't allow you to do that. Now there is a request for many of the applicants to be able to use country and territory names, and the ALAC doesn't really have a very concerted point of view on this, so we've in general not actually submitted a statement on these. Finally, two public comments that require a decision at the moment. One is the GNSO translation and transliteration of contact information policy development process. The recommendations that have been put together by this working group, and they are ready for board consideration. And as always, before it goes to the board, it goes to the community, so the community can comment and would probably introduce some changes to this. Translation and transliteration is all about, in fact, all about the record, the WHOIS records of the information, so what am I saying? The information in the WHOIS records. So as I said earlier, in a WHOIS record, you might have the address of the registrant, or you might have telephone numbers or details of the registrant themselves. But now, with the introduction of internationalized domain names, where you have domain names that are in Chinese character sets and in Cyrillic character sets and in various other scripts, Hindi, etc., then in what language would you actually have the contact information drafted in the WHOIS records? And how do you translate any of the details there? How do you, and we're saying here transliteration, because WHOIS only works in ASCII characters, you know, the Latin character set. How do you then change a word that is in Chinese, let's say, and write it in this Latin character set and keep some kind of a consistency in your database? Now, that working group has had a lot of work on that. So we still have to check with our internationalized domain name working group to find out if we're going to submit a statement on that, and there's still a bit of time until the closing date on this. And finally, the next generation generic top-level domain registration directory services to replace the WHOIS preliminary issue report. And that's an interesting one, because we've spoken a lot about WHOIS in the consultations that we've got on the table, that we've dealt with in the past month. And as you can see, there are a lot of broken things in WHOIS. In about a year or 2 years, in recent years, a working group was set up by ICANN to try and see if we could actually just get rid of WHOIS altogether and have redesign a new system from scratch, basically. A clear table, start from new and see what one needs in a registration directory services to replace WHOIS. And that produced some work. It took a little while to somehow focus on having a good deliverable, and now we actually have this the next stage, which is to see, okay, where do we go next and how does that move forward. That report is all ready now for a comment, and the commenting period closes on the 6th of September. I would really hope that the ALAC, having had several of its members on that working group, will be able to comment and perhaps even support this. I personally feel, this is just my personal feeling, we're trying to do so many things with Who Is today, it's like putting plasters on a wooden leg that will not revive the leg and get the leg to work better again. We really need to have a system whereas we have more control on this and that uses the technology that we have available today to us, rather than Who Is, which uses a technology that was developed in the 1980s or maybe even before the 1980s. And, of course, computing has changed a lot ever since. These are the public comments at the moment on the table, and I always invite you, sometimes at the beginning but sometimes at the end of my intervention, to have a look at the policy advice development page that tracks the public commenting. So you don't need to wait for your monthly dose of this stuff. You can look at it on a daily basis. And trust me, that's where all the action takes place. So I hope to see a lot of you comment on all of these statements and the ones that will turn up in the near or far future. And thanks for this. Any questions? Thank you,
Olivier. Thank you very much indeed for this detailed presentation and introduction to what is going on. And there is a question from Maureen related to how we actually can get to know the background information on the statements that need the input from at large. You mentioned about the brief webinar, but can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, thank you very much for this, Sernish, and thanks, Maureen, for this question. It's interesting, actually. There is no exact set of ways to get the background on these, on many of these public comments or public consultations. If you look at the actual public consultation page, now each one of these statements, you can click on one, each one of the pages to build the statement actually has a bit of information first about the public comment. So it's got a brief overview, it's got a description, an explanation of the reason and of the purpose of the public comment. It tries to provide some background information. That information, that background information is copied from the ICANN public comment page. So it's not geared specifically to Internet end users, and it is sometimes difficult to find out how that really affects end users. Some of these public comments use very, very complicated language with lots of acronyms, and it might sometimes be very puzzling. When we have something, a public comment that really specifically affects end users, I think that the aim is for those of us that are in the know, perhaps to ask if there are any questions. Usually what we have is someone assigned, an assignee for drafting this public comment response, and that usually is a person who knows quite a lot about the thing itself. So I think it would be a good thing if you have any questions, you can ask that person about maybe some further background on this public comment. There is an aim for those that public comment periods that really specifically affect end users. Sometimes we have a webinar about that public comment. We have had webinars about the ICANN accountability and about the IMS stewardship topics, because they were so complex and because they are going to affect everyone in such a significant way. So we have managed to do this for this, but we generally at the moment neither have enough time nor enough resources to conduct webinars on each one of these public comments, unfortunately. We would love to be able to do so, but it's it's all about time, and we're all volunteers, so it's all a bit difficult for this. But if there are some issues or further questions that you have about any of these public comments, the first part of contact is, on the one hand, perhaps staff who could direct you to someone who knows a lot more about this, or if you have their email address, the pen holder of the proposal. Sorry,
thanks,
of the
Oliver.
Public comments, of the public comment response. It's on behalf of the ALAC. Oh. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Olivier. And I just would like to also mention to everyone in this call that in the agenda there are links, to direct links to each and every statement approved, public comment requested space. So if you would, if you are interested to comment on the specific topic, there is a direct link, so there is no need to go and search in the wiki. They are all in the agenda, and thanks to our staff who posted all this. Any questions to this topic, to Olivier, from the participant? I don't see any hand raised. So I also would like to mention that we have requested from the staff to send the link to all active working groups or ad hoc working groups which we currently that currently are active, and I will be going to send this information to our mailing list. So those who are interested to join any working group are more than welcome, and we need more people from HOALO to join working group and to provide feedback or input to those working group activities. No, I don't see any questions on this as well. So let's move to the next agenda item, which is APRALO APAC Hub Cooperation. Many of you know that we have started this cooperation last year, and we are currently organizing a series of webinars. And I would like to give the floor to Kelvin to talk about the upcoming webinar, which will take place on July 30th. Kelvin, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Siranush. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay,
well.
Hi, this is Kelvin Wong from the APAC Hub. We've been working hard with ICANN at large staff, Sylvia and Ariel. Ariel is unable to join us today, as well as the APRALO leadership to identify topics that will be useful for the ALSs under APRALO. And so this is, we have been having the, as Siranush mentioned, we've been having this for a while. And so the next webinar is going to be next week at UTC 0500 hours. And it will be on DNS basics and DNS security and stability. This will be given by Steve Sheng, ICANN, Director of ASSEC and RSEC Advisory Development Support. He will be taking us through some topics. He will start quite generally from DNS basics. I think this will be very useful for everyone for a good understanding of this domain name system that we're talking about. Then he will talk about root servers, domain name registration process, resolution process, and of course DNS security and stability. Slightly more technical, but hopefully everyone will get some knowledge out of this. So like Siranush mentioned, we urge ALSs to participate actively here. We aim to make this more interactive as well. We'll have some quizzes interspersed within the webinar. And at the end of the webinar, we hope to administer a survey and look forward to your active participation as well. That's all from me, Siranush.
Thank you, Kelvin. Thank you very much, and I really would encourage to join to those webinars. These are unique opportunities for ALSs to know the first-hand information, and I would like to thank APAC Hub for such a wonderful job. They are really doing a great job to make this happen for our ALSs. So please join and learn from those. And also would like to mention that all webinars are posted online, so they are recorded and they are available, so you can go back to the previous webinars, the topics of which were IDNs and internet governance, and you can hear at least the transcript and records and get to know what we were talking about. And yes, there is every time there will be a survey, and we decided that during the webinar, at the end of the webinar itself, there will be a survey. Please don't, those who participate, please just fill this survey. It's very quick, 1 or 2 minutes maximum. Any questions on those webinars? No questions. Okay. So, one more time, it will take place on 30th July, 5:30. So it's time which is, I think, which is good for Asia-Pacific region, so please join. We will not be having Chinese interpretation at that time, as it was not used during previous two webinars. But if there is a case that you need Chinese interpretation, please let me or staff know about that, and we will make it happen. Any questions? Yes, testing will be provided upon request. So if you need, just let us know. Yes, Suhaidi, the webinars are open to all, and any representative from your ALS or any person who is interested on this topic is welcome to join. They are open, they are recorded, and they are available in the wiki as well. Okay, I see Chaitanya is posting something, so let's see. Yes, Chaitanya, you can circulate the details of this webinar to ICANN Fellowship meeting, and those who are especially from APAC region can join. Those who are out of the region also can join if time works for them. But it's really open, and people are welcome. And this is the good approach. ICANN Fellowship is the space where this information about DNS, some basic DNS and DNS ecosystem information is very important. So please share the information with them and invite them to this webinar. And you can put the links, direct links to the webinar, which are posted in the chat space. So welcome. Disseminate this information to the network, you know, so they are more than welcome. Great, great. Thank you very much. Any questions for that? And also you can inform people about the previous topics, and the records, as I mentioned, is posted. So if you give the link to the APR Allo Capacity Building webinar series, then people can go and open those information and can at least hear what presentations were about. So no questions. I see no questions, no posts in the space. So let's move to another topic. For those who are not aware, we are already open for individual membership in APR Allo, and it is in our rules of procedures. But we know that there are some limitations for individual members, especially in the voting process. So those who are individual members, they cannot vote whenever it comes to some voting system, or we are voting for any candidate for any position in APR Allo, and there is a limitation for them. So there is a wiki space open. Yes, thank you, Sylvia, for posting this. There is a wiki space where we have already started discussions on what are the challenges and how we are going to overcome, like on which basis we should choose one individual member to join and not the other one to join, how is the procedure, what we are going to send, what application they are going to fill in. I would encourage you to visit this space, and we would like to hear from ALSs, those who represent ALS, to provide your feedback, how you see individual members joining APRALO. Because APRALO is huge, and if we start to accept many individual members, the number can be more than 3,000, 5,000 and above. So we need to have some strategy, we need to have some way of coordination how we are going to build. And I would like to bring your attention on this and talk about this. I see Cheryl and Ali hand raised, and Cheryl, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Shirin, or Cheryl Langs, and all for the transcript record. I have some thoughts, as some of you do know about this, and I also have every intention of writing a very short proposal or discussion paper for the consideration of APRALO as to how I think, in what I might say is considerable experience, but also having had the chance to look at and compare and contrast what is available or does or doesn't work particularly well regarding voting and voting thresholds and mechanisms, not only in other regional or large organisations, but in other organisations, including not-for-profits in general. So as I said to a couple of you, including you, Sirinush, during the Buenos Aires meeting, I am very keen to put a draft on the table for everyone's consideration. I'm afraid that the workload currently, at least for me as a rapporteur and active member in both the CWG on IANA stewardship, but more importantly at the moment, the CCWG on accountability, which is at one of its very busiest points as we get ready to publish our second draft for public comment. I'm really not going to have time to put pen to paper before that goes to bed. So I'm not going to be able to do that until at the earliest next week. So if you will beg an indulgence, or if I may beg an indulgence, I should say, I just wanted to let you know that I've no intention of neglecting the issue, nor forgetting about it. But I just don't have the human bandwidth right now to do the job that I'd like to do for putting out a little paper for everyone's discussion and consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you very much. If I understand you correctly, you are going to prepare the draft proposal, kind of how to include individual members, and we would really appreciate, because you have a huge experience on that, and please, we would love to see that proposal and to share with ALSs to comment on this. Thank you very much. Ali, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you very much, Shirinush. This is Ali Al-Mishal for the record. Maybe I will just take this a little bit back. My point on the concept itself, maybe I'm not getting it right, but let me just raise that one. So the way it works in the ICANN and even the at-large or all over, it's a two-way communication. So if we are recruiting as an individual members and they are not part of any community that they represent within their countries, so I can see that it will be sort of a one-way communication, not a two-way communication, because whatever they do, whatever they participate in within the ICANN community, they will not be able to go and share back within, they will not be able to go and spread out the what we are doing within the ICANN. So how would we benefit from these individual members if they are not part of a community within their country? Thank you. This is one of the concerns that I have wrote on the wiki pages.
Yes, Ali, thank you. Sinanush is here. Yes, this is really an important issue you are raising, and that's why we need to have some specific criteria why we are accepting those people. So those people should show their involvement in their local community. Otherwise, everyone can come and say, okay, I would like to be an individual member. No, we want these individual members also to bring back the information which they can share in their local community. So this is a criteria which should be one among those why we are accepting this or that person. But this is a good point. Thanks for again mentioning. And it is, yes, there are some concerns raised by APRALO people, and this is posted already in the wiki, so please go and look into those comments. Maureen, please.
Thank you so much, Maureen, for the record. I just wanted to raise, first of all, my apologies to Cheryl, because we did discuss it in Buenos Aires, and I did say that I would be contributing to the preparation of a paper, and I know how busy Cheryl is. But I must admit, I have actually been keeping a watching eye on the comments that have been going up on the wiki, and I think it's really important that members do have their say about how they feel about individual members, just as Ali and Satish and others have done on the wiki, because we do need to be able to represent those concerns within the statement that we actually include into our rules of procedure. At the moment, individual members are recognised in our rules of procedure, but there is the process and the actual statement that looks at sort of like, you know, formalising it and how do we recognise their contribution. Knowing too that most of the other RILOs, and, you know, it's a way forward for us, is that they all can participate as individuals within the working groups and all those sorts of activities that we run, but it's just the voting, and the voting is, could possibly be that individual members will have one vote. But again, we need to look at, you know, like what is fair, and so your comments are very, you know, it's just a public comment, as Olivia was talking about ICANN issues. This is an APRALO issue, and we'd still like to hear how our members feel about something that we're going to include into our rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Sinanush is here. I have seen that Sylvia also posted that some RALOs have this experience. We have the team which discussed this and posted some comments in the wiki. We went to NARALO and URALO experience, but I think that we found out that none of those experiences may work for us, though some criteria can be a part of our approach. But I think that we need to come up with a specific APRALO way of approach. Cheryl, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I think I'm Cheryl. Thank you very much, Cheryl Langdon, or for the record. Maureen, you shouldn't cut yourself off. That doesn't sound at all fair. A couple of things. Sylvia, yes, those of us, particularly those of us who've been drafting this current set of APRALO rules of procedure, and indeed those and the variations on the themes that went before, are well and truly aware of the mechanisms, shortfalls and advantages of the systems running in the other regional at large organisations. So this is not news to those of us with an interest in this area from our region, but thank you for the links anyway. As Sirinush said, there are particular issues and unique aspects of our region. which means we can't just take up one of their no doubt lovely little democratic systems from either Europe or North America and just plug and play it into our own. It will not work. However, I am confident that we can come up with something that will work. A couple of things I would like to just say before we move on to our next agenda item, because I don't want this to take up too much time. The first one is that with terms of questioning the purpose of having individuals as active members that Ali has raised in the wiki, and I think the other thing that Maureen and I will undertake to do, notice it's now the royal we again, Maureen, we will respond to each of the questions, queries or concerns raised in the wiki. So please put more in and let us both use those and deal with them the best we can. But the original guidelines and indeed the basis for our memorandums of articles and our understanding, our MOU with ICANN is definitely, as you say, Ali, a two-way communication street. ICANN itself has, however, gone on a great deal further in terms of its engagement and outreach programming and protocols, and indeed even its strategic plan is now acting in a very different way. And so it would fit quite reasonably with a current as opposed to circa 2007, 8, 9 or 10 ICANN. For us to make sure that we do have active individuals. But, of course, there are the elephants in the room, like the how we would balance voting, et cetera, et cetera. So we do have to be clever and regionally appropriate with our solutions. That said, I do want to remind you all, we don't actually have a choice on this. This is a specific recommendation out of the first ALAC review. It is a requirement that the ALAC finds a way for individual representation, the representation of individuals into its work, and we assume that is best done via the RALOs. But if we don't get it done via the RALOs, then, ladies and gentlemen, the ALAC will have to find a way of getting it done directly, and that would not be my preferred method. So let's see if we can get this right. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you very much. This is really important information also for everyone to know. This is Ramush. And I would like to come back to what Suhaidi asked, that who can be an individual member who can join, because many of those community leaders are already members of ALSs, certified ALSs. And you are right, Heidi. It's not the issue that we need to ask people from other ALSs, from already registered ALSs, to come and join as individual members. I'll just give you an example. We have two members, individual members, who express their willingness to join, and they both are from the country where we don't have any ALS. There is no any ISOC there, so I'm talking about Iran. And they are active members of fellowship program. One of them is active member of NCUC part, but they do not represent any organization in their local community. But they can be some kind of a link to the local community for Asia Pacific to take the information back to their own country. Cheryl, if you can add on this, please.
Certainly, Sirinush. Thank you for the opportunity, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. And I was just typing, and will probably continue to do so, an answer to this question, and that is, of course, if under our rules of procedure, if you are a member of an certified, and it doesn't have to be with our region, any certified at large structure, you cannot be approved as an unaffiliated individual member. Notice we talk about unaffiliated individual members. And so that means that a membership of an at-large structure would mean you could not be certified as such. So if you are a member of an ISOC chapter, that is also a member of a certified at-large structure, it would mean you could not be certified as an unaffiliated individual member under our current rules within AP RALO. This is not the case in the other regions. But what we do need to do is make sure, because those are our current rules, that if that's what we're operating under, that we also have a system where due diligence and background checks are done, or at least some statements are made that attest that applicants for unaffiliated individual membership are indeed not in any way a member of another at-large structure. So as many of us in the ISOC world, not all ISOC chapters are at-large structures, but many are. I'm a member of three or four, I think by last count, different ISOC chapters. If I was in a country where my ISOC chapter was not an ALS, that's okay. But if I'm also a member, as I very well could be, of another chapter, so let's assume I was in a country that doesn't have an ISOC chapter that's an at-large structure, but I have another membership with Australia, I could not be allowed under our current rules to be certified as an unaffiliated individual member. So it is quite a limitation, and I think it's actually an important limitation because it's one of the ways we can control gaming, and gaming is an issue. And just on closing with that, if I may, it would mean that, for example, I'm aware of one or two individuals who are multiple individual members in other regions. In other words, they are individual members in more than one region as RALOs. That can't happen in ours. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is a good explanation of some challenges that not anyone can join. And I think Suhaidi got the clarification. Yes, thank you, Suhaidi. I will be sending the link, direct link to the whole, to our mailing list also for everyone to comment. And please come up with your suggestions. And again, thanks to Cheryl for preparing the draft proposal. And your comments will be really appreciated to be included in that proposal. So please, comment on this, because we need to know what do you think. My assumption is that to some extent, for example, we currently have two people from Iran joining who expressed their willingness to join as individual members. But for the future, these two people may come up with establishing an ISOC chapter there, so they can come back as an ISOC chapter to join as an ALS. So this is also the way how we can facilitate or encourage people to establish and to join Asia Pacific as a new region. Because why we accepted those two ladies from Iran as that we don't have ALS from Iran as well. So this is also the way how we can outreach the ASRALO activities and you bring back as an ALS from that country. I see several posts in the chat space. Cheryl is giving the information that those who are affiliated with any ALS cannot be as an individual member. So, yes, thank you very much. And once again, I will be sending the link to this wiki page to our members. Any questions from the participants related on this? So if no, then let's move forward to our next agenda item, which is really very important, but we always have less time to talk about this. less participation in ICANN and ACEVALO activities. To know, for everyone to know that we are keeping the metrics.
Seeing as Chair of the Record, seeing as she was about to go into the wonderful world of metrics, I suspect the ball was about to go to your court anyway. Ah, there we go. She's back.
yes, Olivia, you are right. Every time it's 60 minutes, I'm dropped. So I'm back again. Sorry for the technical issue. As I mentioned, we are gathering the metrics of participation, and we also shared the survey among our ALSs, and we also gathered those survey results. The survey is posted also and available in the wiki. We are organizing webinars, but we found out that there is really low participation, and we need to know why. We have asked and sent notes to our members to identify the reason. We get back from several of them, and we found out some challenges they are facing in their own local, either it's technical issue, either it's some other personal issue. So, but this is good to know, at least for us, to identify why there is a low participation or why there is lack of interest. Because we need to encourage participation, and I would like to give the floor to anyone here in the call to talk about this, how we can encourage the ALS participation, what are the steps we can take, or what are the activities we can implement as a leadership team or as an ALS to encourage the participation and make... I know that sometimes it's challenging the... If you are not participating in person in ICANN meetings, it's sometimes difficult to follow up, but this is how we can use the power of Internet. Anyone would like to comment on this? Anyone would like to brainstorm on this? This is the brainstorming session, so we welcome your ideas. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you. Whoever that was.
Okay, thank you. I just thought that you can't hear me and no one is responding to no any sign of listening. But thank you for listening. I know this is the challenging session. This is the challenging topic. But this is really very important. We are about, we are already 40 ALSs, and we are covering about 25 countries. But there are more than 73 countries in Asia Pacific. So there is a lot to do. But first of all, we would like to encourage and enhance participation of those who are already the members, and then go to add more. So if those who are already in and don't see the benefit, we need to know why. We need to know how we can improve, how we can work out to make this participation better, how, what kind of information you need for us to provide. So there are a couple of topics identified in the survey sent, and based on those topics, we elaborated together with APAC Hub the topics for webinars. But we really see low participation from our ALSs even in those webinars where the topics had been sent and identified by you as an ALS. So sometimes it's difficult to find out the reason why. I know that timing in Asia Pacific also is a challenge. Sometimes we found out that some countries also had technical issues to join. This is also the issue for many countries. But other than that, what is there a lack of information? Is there a way that people don't know how to become a part of any discussions that we can share? If you ask us, we can give you the response, because we don't know if there is lack of anything. So I see no one would like to talk about this, but I would encourage that there is a matrix again, that, and we are keeping this matrix. And for you all to know that, yes, we are keeping those metrics, and we would like you to participate, not just being present at the meeting, but also providing input. That is why I also will be sending the list of active working groups for you to find yourself in which working group you would like to be a part. This is also a participation. If you are participate in one working group, it's not just being just clicking that you are part of it. It's providing your input. It's benefiting from your participation. It's benefiting mutually. You benefit from your participation, and other participants benefit from your participation, and your local community benefits from your participation as well, because many people in your local community have not this opportunity to be a part of those discussions. You should be a linkage to what is discussed in ICANN to your community. Maureen, please.
Thank you, Sarinash. I just wanted to raise that, for example, from the attendance metrics for the AP RALO attendance metrics, you know, we've got about, according to these metrics, there are about 14 of our ALSs, 15, of our ALSs who actually haven't attended any of our meetings. Yeah, this is a real concern for us, because it just means that we're not being as effective as a RALO group when everyone isn't participating. But I did note that there are some of the ALSs that are actually listed, and the contact names of those of the people who are down, they're not actually correct. We actually have representatives of some of these organisations actually attending meetings, but not the person who's actually listed. So I think that one of the things that we've got to ask our ALSs to do is to make sure that the information that you've got on your ALS page is actually up to date, and so that when we're transferring names across, or there is a representative's name down, that person is the one that's going to be, you know, measured by their attendance. Or we may put a number of people down, because I know, for example, with ISOC Japan, they have a number of members who attend. So Heidi, I noticed that ISOC Malaysia, your name is down, and there's another one who is down as well, but, you know, who doesn't attend but is actually down on the list. So, you know, these all are sort of like counted, and we need to make sure that they're accurate, that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen. You know, she's back, really very good point, because those who are mentioned in their ALS application as primary and secondary contacts, they are only people who are getting the, who are subscribed to AP RALO mailing list and who are getting this information. And in case, if this person is leaving and staff is not notified about the new person, the information is somewhere in the air. So the ALS doesn't get the information if the person leaves the ALS and no one is notified about that. So please, If there is any change in primary or secondary contacts, please notify staff with the new contacts, or there is a wiki space for each and every ALS, and everyone has access to those wiki spaces. Please go to that wiki space and make the update of the information there. If you can't do that or have challenges to access wiki, send the information to myself or to the staff, and we would be happy to make those changes. So please keep in mind that point, that if there is a, if the person is living, the information is lost. So and ALS is not benefiting from that. Thank you very much. If there is no point on that, we are already 5 minutes over meeting. Any other business? If anyone would like to say something, or I don't see any hand raised. Just to sum up this call, I'd like to remind you again that the information has been sent to the mailing list about the upcoming webinar on DNS system, so it will be on 15th, and you are more than welcome to join and share the information with the community you are a part of, with the mailing list, with the fellowship program. So please join us in on July 30th, and for those who are living for vacations, I know August may be a vacation for myself as well. So I wish all of you to have really good vacations, and see you again back in August for the July 30th meeting. Thank you very much, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for joining, and I enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sirinush. Have a good vacation.
Thank you, everyone. Bye, guys.
Thank
you. Bye. Yes, next meeting is on Thursday, 7. Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. The meeting has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Enjoy the rest of your day, and have a lovely weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gisela. Thank you, Sylvia. And thanks, Kelvin.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.